While you're standing, let's grab our Bibles. Amen. I believe that going to church should be as much fun as anything the world can offer. I enjoy going to church. Let's go to one verse. I'll let you be seated. Acts 1:26. I had so many scattered thoughts tonight, and I had to settle on one. And the Lord just said, preach this, and I'll do the rest. So it may not seem to fit you, but you'll find something to minister to you in here. But it may be maybe for just one or two particularly, but I think you'll find some medicine in here for you too. Acts 1:26 says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. I want to teach tonight and preach from this thought. It's time to replace your Judas. It's time to replace your Judas. God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for this privilege that we have to come to this place, the country that we live in, the time that we live in. God, everything is perfect. Amen. Everything is perfect in your own time. We ask you, Lord, to be with us and guide us through this. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is time to replace your Judas. Whether you know it or not, everybody has a Judas. I preached a sermon one time called Leave My Judas Alone. Amen. Leave my Judas alone. They will self-destruct. You don't just leave them alone. They will self-destruct. There is a significance in the Bible to Numbers, as you know, 40 days and meant one thing, the flood and the Ten Commandments. But 12 has a great significance as well in the Bible, and it was a sign of complete government, complete rule. And so even in school, how many of you went 12 grades, right? That was the complete education. There used to be 11, now there's 12. And even Jesus said that they're not 12 hours in the day, right? 12 hours of night, 12 hours a day. It may not be exact, but that's how it's put. But then we read in the Bible about Abraham and Isaac and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's interesting that it's not the God of Esau. Okay, it's not the Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Esau should have been the one that. But you know, Esau didn't have 12 sons. Jacob had 12 sons. So the Lord put inside the heart of the one that had the birthright, he despised his birthright, but he put inside the heart of the one who did not have the birthright a desire for it. And he chose him. He said, before either one was born, they were still struggling in the womb. And Rebekah said, Lord, if I'm blessed, why am I thus? They were struggling in the womb. These two were Jacob was trying to get something that wasn't his in the very beginning. But the Lord said, one have I loved and the other have I hated. And neither one had done it right or wrong at that time. But God put it in the heart of Jacob to go after the things of God. And so it was through Jacob that we have what's known as the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 government, the 12 governing powers, the ruler, if you will. And it's not by accident that Jesus, when he chose apostles, stopped at 9 or 10. No, he chose 12 apostles. Amen. That number that meant complete rule and control. But it's interesting that when Jesus called them, he called every one of them, and none of them had experience with him. They may have known the Torah, the law, or whatever the case may be, but they did not really know Jesus. But as Jesus walked around, he would say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And there was something inside of them that said, follow this man. Daddy, I'm gone. You take care of the boat and the ship. Where are you going? So just something burning in here that I just want to follow him. It's like I've got a dog that I'm trying to get to hunt squirrels, and I'm working on him. But brother, buddy, I'm gonna tell you, that dog wants to run deer. And we come across a deer track. He's not real interested in squirrels, but you come across the deer, and all of a sudden, he'll start barking like crazy. It's just in him. And the first time that happened, he took off after a deer. I called my other dog back and with that shock collar, you know, that'll call him back. And the other one, I didn't have the collar on, and she went out of hearing. I mean, completely out of hearing. It was just something in her. I didn't have to train her. I didn't have to say, now, honey, let's smell. This is what I want. It was just in her. And so God is looking for people. It was just in Jacob when he was born. When he was born, he was pulling on Esau, give it to me, give it to me. I want it, I want it. It's just something inside of God's children that just got to have it. Somebody said, don't y'all get enough church? We never get enough church. Amen. You never get enough of God. Don't you read his word enough? Don't you know it? No, I never know enough about his word. But it's interesting that Jesus would call 12 of them, and each of them would play some part, but he chose one of them. He said, I have not chosen 12, and one is the devil. Everybody's got a devil somewhere in their life. Amen. And so even though Jesus chose them, he chose the Apostle Peter, which would be the spokesman of the crowd, but it was him, it was the Apostle Peter that tried to repel Jesus from going to the cross. But it would be Judas that would propel him to the cross. Without a cross, we have no salvation. Without a cross, we don't have a hope. There's no gospel message. But it was through this man that he chose that had the devil, if you will, and it was he did not enter into the supper. The Bible says, and he entered in. Why? Because he had this love for money. And it was the root of all evil. And at that table that night, he dipped a sop and he gave it to Judas Iscariot and said, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. And the Bible says, and Satan entered in, and it was night. It's unfortunate that God would choose somebody, but the Bible says he was chosen for this condemnation, for that purpose. And I'm telling you, in your life, if you could choose every step of your way, you'd never choose a downfall, you'd never choose a pit, you'd never choose a pothole, you'd never choose to have trouble, and you would be in heaven already right now, right? But you don't choose those things. God chooses some things for you. But I want to teach you something tonight. Because what happened was the one that God chose to be the apostle, once his part in the apostleship had ended, his part in the gospel message has ended, now we have 11 apostles. Because one is gone. Can I tell you that everything in your life can be replaced? So, no, I'm telling you, everything in your life can be replaced, including your life. You can your life will be replaced. Everybody's life is going to be replaced with another life. Everything can in this life is temporal, the Bible says, but it can be replaced. And so when we look at this 11th, now it's not complete. And our God is a God of completeness. And it's what are we going to do now when we get to the 12 gates in heaven, because it talks about the 12 gates. Maybe there'll just be 11 when we get there. No, there's going to be 12. But will one of them be for Judas? No, it won't be for Judas. We've got to replace Judas. We've got to replace people and things that betray us and leave us, and we've got to go on. And that's part of my message to you tonight, is to realize that you might not think you can go on any longer once you've had your Judas and once he's done to you what he's done, or she's done to you what she's done, or they did to you what they... But let me tell you, you can quit church if you want to. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. Find another church. You can't quit. Quitting is not an option. Completion is always going to be completion. You've got to fulfill whatever is lacking must be complete. Amen. Many times we're scared to replace what... Well, I ain't getting hurt again. You're being hurt right now, not doing anything about it. Loneliness is one of the worst enemies there is. Oh, Lord. Jesus walked with them for 3.5 years from the time he began to turn the water into wine. The Bible says that they followed him and they went to this feast, and it wasn't really until then that they believed on him. The Bible says that when he turned the water into wine, then his disciples believed on him. Prior to that, he had not done any miracles. He had not done anything to make them really think, you know. But let me tell you, if I was going to preach Sunday, I told Brother Claire, if I was going to preach Sunday and I had a little title and I wasn't sure whether he's coming or not, I was going to preach, there's a miracle among us. There's a miracle among us. there's a miracle, and it ought to be me. It ought to be me. And when he did that miracle, let me tell you what miracles do. They have a lasting effect. Anything else can come and go, but when God does a miracle, say, you know, anything you just get well of, you know, well, you'll forget it. But if God does a miracle, it has a lasting effect on you. And so these had watched Jesus do miracles, turning water into wine, raising the dead, and all this, not knowing we'll end up with 11. And they watched him as he ascended out. 11 of them watched him. It's not complete without Judas, without somebody to replace him. And the Bible says in Acts, and I'm teaching you tonight, there's something here. Acts 1 and 12 says, then returned they, this is after the ascension, and after Jesus had told them to tarry, he said, they returned unto Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. So Jesus had spoken some final words to them, and he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. You'll receive power, he said, after that you receive the Holy Ghost. So they knew they were there to receive the Holy Ghost. They knew what the purpose was. So after he ascended, they go back to Jerusalem and entered into this upper room. And the Bible says there abode there, now listen close, both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James and Simon and Judas, the brother of James, and we're missing one. Just don't seem right. There was an empty seat. It's interesting to me, as I studied this, that the Lord told them to go there and tarry. Why not just go receive? But he told them to tarry, to linger there. And while they were lingering, Peter was thinking, what are we going to do with this empty seat? And Peter began to recall prophecy. He began to recall the words of David, and he wrote this. Luke wrote it, but Peter said this in Acts chapter 1:14. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm glad to see that she was there too and needed the Holy Ghost with his brethren, meaning Jesus' brothers and sisters. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now, this Peter, before he ever said to when it was noised abroad, they gathered together, and you remember he said, men and brethren, let me freely speak. Before he spoke to them, he's going to speak to the 12 and the 120. He's going to preach to them before he preaches to them out in the world. So there's about 120 there, and they're all continuing. They're all tarrying there in prayer. But Peter begins to think back at Scripture and prophecies and things that have been said. This is why you need to know the Word of the Lord. So he said this in verse 16, men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of, now what are they waiting on? The Holy Ghost. Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He had his purpose. And it's beginning to come to him now as they tarry. That's why sometimes you ought to just linger a while before you make some decisions. Because they're wanting the Holy Ghost. They don't know that they're there for this too. They're just thinking, I'm there for the Holy Ghost. But it didn't come. It didn't come as quick as they thought. So while they're lingering, Peter's thinking, and they're praying, and the Lord pricked him to think about this. I wonder if the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost would have come if they had not taken care of this. The Apostle Peter began to realize that we can't let the devil stop what God started. And neither can you. You cannot let what the devil did to you, to the other 11, to Christ, to stop you. You know how many people are not going to church tonight, not in the ark of covenant, because they, well, somebody did. You can't let that Judas stop you and rob you of your salvation. In verse 17, it says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. I'm realizing that Judas was a part of our lives. And you, my brothers and sisters, have to remember that your Judas was part of your life, that God called into your life, lest you despise Judas and never replace him. I ain't taking another chance on that happening again. I don't know, but I'm talking to somebody tonight. Verse 18 says, now this man purchased a field which with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Asladama, which is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, here we go, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, let another take. We can't go on until we replace Judas. You can't go on until you replace the ones that's hurt you, the places that's hurt you, the churches that's hurt you, the ministers that's hurt you, and anything that has hindered you and stopped you. You've got to be willing to let it go so God can replace it. Too many times we hold on to things that happened in the past, and God says, I can't replace it till you let it go. But if you'll let it go, I will replace it. And then we can move forward with it. And you're stopping the Holy Ghost from doing the work that it wants to do because you're not willing to replace it. And so the Apostle Peter, being the spokesman for the crowd, realized that what the Scripture had said, that we got to replace this man before we go any further. Jesus picked Judas. Now listen close, but you're going to pick his replacement. You're going to have to search God's mind to find who he wants to replace your Judas. It may be a church, it may be a place, it may be somebody, it may be another job. I don't know what your Judas is, but I know this, it's got to be replaced. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. What he's saying is, I wonder, out of all of these here, is there anyone here that was with us from the beginning? Even though he didn't call you like he called me. So is there anybody here that's followed him like we have as he went in and out, but he wasn't called one of the apostles? But he was a disciple. So beginning, let's find us a person here. Now let's start with this, okay? And Peter's saying, okay, let's start with the baptism of John. And they found those that were there at the baptism of John. Why is that so important? Because that's when the anointing came upon Christ. He came out of the water and the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Who was here when that happened? A few raised their hand. Unto the same day that he was taken up from us. How many of you was here when he was baptized and started his ministry? And how many of you was here when he entered his ministry? And a few raised their hands. Wow. I wonder if you can raise your hand without having a title. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was there because I was on the board. I go there because I'm on the board. I go there because I lead the music. I go there because I'm the pastor. I'm going there. But you don't have a title. But I'm there. Through good times and through bad times, I'm there. I was there when he raised the dead. I didn't say nothing, but I was shouting like everybody else, just like you were. beginning at the baptism of John, the same day he was taken up, must be one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. God ordained you. He ordained a replacement for the one he chose. Let me tell you, you've got something ordained for you if you'll let go of what... You got to let go of Judas in order to get the one that God ordained to replace Judas. All the way to the resurrection. And they appointed two. They found two. Now what are we going to do? We don't need 13. Well, you might say, well, somebody's going to get hurt. No, somebody shouldn't get hurt. He didn't choose me to be on the board. He shouldn't be hurt. The question is, are you with us? That's the question. Both of these were with them. One of them will get the title of apostle, but they'll both have the title of disciple. Can you be a disciple without having a position? Can you be a disciple without being recognized? Can you be a disciple from the beginning all the way to the cross and not be known that you're even there? I call that secret disciples. Don't make any waves. They're not known, but boy, are they faithful. There was two of them. Joseph of Barsabas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. And they said, no, they didn't say it. They prayed. And they said this, not to these two men, which one of y'all wanted the worst? Which one? Well, they'll have a contest and see. Let's see who plays the best. Let's see who sings the best. No. Let's pray. Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two thou hast chosen. Let me tell you, God has chosen the replacement of your Judas, but you're not going to find it without prayer. That he may take part in this ministry and the apostleship. Let me tell you what, it's now fixing to get tough. Being his apostle till then was wonderful. Matthias will get on right when the time gets tough. All the other times he was turning water into wine, raising the dead, and it was, boy, they were flocking to Jesus. Now they're going to be scattered and have to preach under persecution. It's coming. Matthias, you better be faithful. That he may take part in the ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He completed, and the lots was, sometimes people think they're picking straws, but most of the time a lot is a casting a vote. In other words, like a secret ballot, that's a lot. And it fell upon Matthias, and he was the one numbered with the 12. I'm preaching tonight in my closing thoughts that God's got a replacement for everything you lose. Eve said this. She had two children at first. Cain slew Abel. It looked like Abel was going to be the seed to the Messiah, but he wasn't. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife again, and she conceived and had a son named Seth. And Seth said, she, God hath given me another seed in the stead of Abel whom Cain slew. God's got a replacement for everything you lost. Now that they've got 12 again, can we go a little bit further? Amen. Because once that chapter ends there, the next chapter picks up and says, and suddenly. there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it fell upon, you know the rest of it. They began to speak in tongues as the Lord gave the utterance. That happened because they had completed the 12. That's the only thing between the scriptures of him telling them to go and tarry till they receive the Holy Ghost and them actually receiving the Holy Ghost. And so what I'm trying to teach you tonight, if you want everything that God's got for you, you have to, in the tarrying period, say, God, give me direction. God, tell me what I need to do. Tell me, God, how to get over this. You know why most people don't go on? They can't get over it. I wouldn't be here tonight except I got over what had happened to me. And you're here tonight, many of you, I see your heads nodding like this, because you got over what happened to you. Amen. As they come tonight, they started with 12, they ended with 12. All of us could say, well, Brother Baggett, you just don't understand what I went through. I can't chance that again. Let me tell you something. They prayed, and they got it down to 2. And they said, Lord, you know the hearts of both these men. If you don't find the heart of God, you may find you another Judas. God is willing to replace what you're willing to let go of. Somebody says, well, I tried, Brother Baggett. I tried. Let me tell you something. How you doing, Brother Lamar? How you doing, Brother Lamar? Doing great, right? Doing good. Well, I'd like to, but I'm just a little scared to.
Well, shake it.
All right, brother. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you got to stretch. And too many times we just reach, brother. But every time you reach, I go back, right? I'm looking for somebody who's stretching. How are you, brother?
Terrific.
Great. You want something off that shelf up there? You got to stretch. The Lord gave Moses, here's what he told him. He said, I am going to stretch forth my hand over Egypt. And Lord, when God stretched forth his hand, look what happened, all those plagues. He told Moses, what you got in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, I want you to stretch it forth. Several times he told him, stretch it forth over the river. And he got the Red Sea, he said, stretch it forth over the problem. I'm going to tell you, there's no convenient way to get rid of problems. When Elijah wanted rain, what did he do? He put his head between his knees and he prayed how many times? Till the rain came. Could have been 3, but it was 7, God's completion. And when Moses stretched, let's just say that's the Red Sea, it's the Blue Sea right here, but let's just say it's the Red Sea. And the Lord told him to stretch forth that rod that's in your hand over the Red Sea. See, too many times we just want to point where we want to go. We don't take the rod, just point where we want to go. He said, stretch it in that direction, over the problem. And he said, if you'll stretch it over the Red Sea, I'll part it. Now, most of the time it's been taught that when he stretched the rod out, the waters parted, but that's not what happened. Moses went back to his tent. He stretched it forth, and the Bible says, and the winds began to blow. And Moses went back to his tent, and it was not till the next day that they were parted. But honey, when God parted it, you didn't need them Hackberry House slippers to cross. You didn't need galoshers. Let me tell you, when God does something, the Bible says they crossed the Red Sea on dry . It doesn't end there, though, Brother Petrie. When they got clean across, he said, now stretch forth your rod again, and the waters returned. And the enemy they saw no more. Now, let's go on. Let's go on. Would you stand tonight? I just feel like in my heart that somebody may be holding on to something, that maybe you've been hurt. Maybe it's something that happened in life. Let's just call it your Judas tonight. Let's just call it that. But until you're ready to replace that, you can't go on. And God is calling you tonight, I just believe through this little simple message, to pray that God would help you to understand that without a replacement of what you've lost, you will never be complete. Oh, I know what the scripture says. If you lose your mother, your father, he'll be that to you. I understand all that. But there's some things in life that life demands. And so as they sing tonight, I don't want to single anybody out, but I just feel like the Lord's talking. Here's what I'm asking you tonight, is to be open to replacement. Be open to God replacing what you've lost. Be open to letting it go so God can bring something else into your life. Once you realize Judas is dead, it is over. And Jesus said, it is finished. Now, let us go on into perfection. I'm asking every one of you to be open what he wants to do. I would not be your pastor if I wouldn't open to the will of God. Some of you here are secret agents of God. Quiet, you don't hear anything out, don't look for anything, don't want your name mentioned, but I'm telling you, you're here from the very beginning and you'll be here to the end. When they got ready to replace this one that Christ had called, they said, who's been here from the beginning to the end? And we only know that two could fulfill that out of the 120 that was there. Two that we know of. And God said, God, you know their hearts. And I'm here to tell you, God knows your heart. All I'm asking you in this message tonight, what you've lost is gone. And God can't work with what's gone, but he can work with what's left. It don't matter how much meal you had in the barrel. What matters is how much meal do you have in the barrel. It doesn't matter how much oil you used to have. How much oil do you have? And God will work with what little you have and multiply it if you'll just be open. So some of you tonight have already replaced your Judas and you're going on. But some of you are in the tarrying phase of not knowing and waiting, is it this one or is it that one? But until you start to pray and read your Bible and let God talk to you, God was talking to Peter. Jesus didn't say, now in between the time I tell you to do this, I said, now I want y'all to appoint somebody else before. No, the Lord pricked his heart and said, hey, it ain't complete without 12. Let's replace it. So God is talking to somebody tonight that you're not complete with what you lost. You need to replace it. God, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for the ears that listened to this message tonight. I ask that it would sink down into their hearts, God, and they would pray, search your word, God, that they may find the perfect will of God. There is a will of God that's perfect for everybody in this room tonight, and it's up to us to prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. They're going through the proving grounds tonight of tarrying and waiting and God talking to you about what would you have me to do, as Paul said on that day. God, I ask you to fulfill the desires of their hearts as the scripture says, Lord, you would do it because you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. I hope you got a little something out of that, and we'll see you Sunday morning.